For our scripture reading this morning, we turn to Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 8 through 12 out of this chapter. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. That's our scripture reading this morning. Now, with this passage in mind, we turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 42. You'll find that in the bottom of page 23 and the top of page 24 in the back of your Psalter. This Lord's Day deals with the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. What doth God forbid in the eighth commandment? God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, that's the civil authorities, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God, as also all covetousness, all abuse and waste of his gifts. And now question 111, but what doth God require in this commandment? That I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further also, that I faithfully labor, so that I may be able to relieve the needy. And there you have the catechism. Thou shalt not steal. Did you ever do that? Steal? When we think of stealing, our mind goes, first of all, to robberies, car theft, breaking and entering, things that we hear on the news almost every night. But did you know that you can steal from your neighbor legally? The catechism includes under stealing, appropriating to ourselves the goods of our neighbor under the appearance of right. And it's all legal, according to the laws of the land. Did you know that being wasteful is also stealing? The catechism says that all abuse and waste of God's gifts are forbidden by this eighth commandment. They're stealing. Did you know that you can steal from God? The verses that we just read out of Malachi tell us that Judah of old was robbing God by not bringing their tithes to the temple. If we understand all that is included in the sin of stealing, we will discover to our surprise that there is more stealing going on than we may have thought, not just in the world, but also in the church. And perhaps in our own lives. God forbids all stealing in the Eighth Commandment. This commandment is rooted in the principle or the fact that we are stewards of God. God has given us in this world many good gifts which we are to manage and to use in the service of His cause and kingdom. That includes our finances. It includes the gifts that God has given to us with which we're born. It includes the gift of salvation. Over all these things, we are stewards of God. When we fail as God's stewards, we end up stealing. And every form of stealing speaks of unfaithful stewardship. We mean to point that out this morning. Finally, by way of introduction, God gives us this commandment as our covenant God. All these commandments are given by God to us to regulate our life with Him in the covenant. They're not harsh. They're not unreasonable. They're not given simply without thought to us and our well-being. They're given to us in God's love, given to us in God's wisdom. And when we in Jesus Christ keep these laws, we find a great blessing in our relationship with God, in our relationship with one another. But when we, and if we, sinfully trample underfoot this commandment, we will find the judgment of God. And so, we call attention to the eighth commandment this morning, thou shalt not steal. We notice, first of all, what is the basis for this commandment? Secondly, what is the meaning of this commandment? And finally, what is the penalty of disobeying this commandment? The basis for this eighth commandment is, as I said, stewardship. We are stewards over many things that God has entrusted to us. A steward, or stewards, were quite common in Bible times. Any man of wealth had stewards who served him. Eliezer was a steward of Abraham. Joseph became the chief steward in Potiphar's house in Egypt. A steward was a trusted servant into whose care his master would place the care of his possessions, and sometimes even his family. It was customary for a slave owner to entrust to his steward the daily running of his estate and farm. Sometimes entrusted to the steward was even the education and care of his family. And when a wealthy landowner would leave on a trip, which was often the case, he would leave everything in the care of his steward, a trusted servant. There were three things that were true of a steward. First of all, he possessed absolutely nothing. He managed a large sum of money. He ran a large estate. He cared for children. But none of it was his. He was simply managing what belonged to his master. The second thing true of a steward was he was obligated to use his master's goods and wealth not for himself, not for his own personal enrichment, or advancement, but all of it was to be used in the service of his master. And the third thing that was true of Stuart was that there was a day of reckoning periodically where a steward had to give an account what he did with the master's possessions. Was he faithful or no? And he was rewarded accordingly. Well, people of God, we're stewards. We are stewards of God. That's suggested, first of all, by several of the parables of Jesus in which stewards are mentioned and in those parables represent the citizens of the kingdom as stewards in God's house. And then there's 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As every man has received the gift, or a gift, literally, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Notice, God has given us manifold gifts of grace. Over those, we are called to be good stewards. So let's talk about these gifts of God. The Heidelberg Catechism speaks of gifts. One thing the Eighth Commandment forbids is all abuse and waste of God's gifts to us. What are those gifts? Well, there's first of all, natural gifts, aren't there? Each of us is born with certain natural gifts, things that we're good at. Some have gifts of music, others don't. But some are especially gifted by God with musical abilities. Others, for example, are gifted with great intellect. Others are gifted with the ability to organize. Others with a mechanical ability. Others with physical strength. Each of us is gifted in one way or another. And for his covenant people, God has also given us spiritual gifts in Christ. All of us together as his people share in common the one salvation secured at the cross of Jesus Christ. What a great gift that is. And that great gift of salvation enables us to use all of our natural gifts in the service of God. Without the gift of salvation, all we could do and all we would do is use all of our gifts in the service of sin and for ourselves, but not in Jesus Christ. We are all gifted with the salvation to serve God with all our natural gifts. And then within that context, each of us has our own spiritual strengths or gifts. Depending on the circumstances God gives you in life, depending on the makeup God has given to you in your personality, there are some who are especially gifted with compassion or patience or mercy or love. Each one has received a manifold gift of God, a beautiful package of gifts, uniquely yours, to fit you for your place of service in the kingdom. And God has given each one of us opportunities to develop these gifts. You know, every gift given has to be developed. Children and young people, God has given you tremendous opportunities to develop your gifts in the training you're receiving at home, in the Christian schools that you attend, in the church you attend, through the catechism classes. Not only does God give each of us golden opportunities to develop our gifts, but also opportunities to use them. God will make sure that the door is open to use your gifts in your home, in your marriage, in the church here, in the schools, in the community, at the workplace, in every part of your life. And often the opportunities He gives to you to use your gifts then also become opportunities to develop your gifts. You develop them by using them. As stewards of God, it is our calling to develop these gifts fully and to use them all in the service of God. We may not squander the good gift that God gives to us by doing nothing with them. We are stewards over these gifts. We may not just squander them by refusing to develop them, nor may we abuse them by using them for self-promotion, but they must all be used in the service of God. Perhaps we ought to speak specifically about our material possessions. When we think of the commandment, thou shalt not steal, that's the first thing we think of. And our material possessions are included in the great gifts or gift that God has given to each one of us. So how you doing financially? What is your financial position? You own a house, partly. You got a car, maybe two. Money in the bank. Clothes in your closet. Food in the cupboard. You got a vacation you're paying on or paid for. How much do you got? You got quite a bit? Or little. All these things in your possessions, they're not yours. We may think of that every day because we've worked for them, we've scrimped, we've saved, we've managed well. And our mindset is, these are mine. But they're not. They're God's. God is the creator of all things. He's the owner of all things. And the things that you have in your possession have only been entrusted to you for a while as God's steward. So you worked for it. Who gave you the strength to work? Who gave you the opportunity to have a job? Who provided all these things by His hand? God did. And He has given some many things, and He's given some little. But He's only entrusted it into your care. You are only a manager of God's money, God's house, God's car, God's bank account. That's all you are. Just a manager. over God's things, even your business. In that connection, let's understand our responsibility as stewards then. Our responsibility is, first of all, to work diligently for our daily bread. Ordinarily, God provides for our material needs and entrusts us with His goods by giving us strength to work, opportunities to work, and blessing that work. God does not provide for us, at least this is not His desire and delight, by gambling, by get-rich-quick schemes, which really the lottery is, the casinos are. We don't belong there. What a terrible thing to take God's money and gamble it with the hope of striking it rich. That's not how God provides for our possessions. Nor does He provide us possessions, at least this is not His desire, to stand with a handout, asking for a handout when there's opportunity to work, and we say, I'd rather receive a handout from the government, from the church, rather than work. There's a growing mentality and part of our society that is exactly that. Yes, sometimes God does provide through the deacons. He does provide in other manners, in other ways, in His providence. But we must seek as much as possible to work, to labor, to manage, and look for the God's blessing and be content with how much or how little God places in our care. The second calling of a steward in this connection is to use all that God has given to us in the service of His name. Not just 10%, a tithe. Not just 50%. Not just most of it, all of it. It's all God's. All of our material things are His, and we are to serve Him with all of it. And how will God have us do that? Well, first of all, He says, I've given you these things so you can provide for your needs. You can't serve me ordinarily in this life if you don't have a house to live in, and you don't have food, and you don't have clothing. And in our society, ordinarily you need transportation and other things. God says, I've given this into your possession, under your care, to use it that way so that you can serve me. But that's not all. I've given the poor to the church. There are many other causes in my kingdom that must be supported financially. The Christian schools, the mission work of the churches, the training of gospel ministry, of men for the gospel ministry. You must support the minister of the gospel that he may work full time in preaching the word. I want you to use my possessions for that too. All of it though must in one way or another be used to serve me. That is the positive requirement of the eighth commandment. Those who fail in this end up stealing. In our fallen, depraved society, we see this all the time. People who are called to be stewards over God's goods and they're unfaithful. And members of the church and the household of faith, even though they are redeemed in the blood of Christ, are not always faithful either. And so God comes to us as His covenant people and says, "You stewards of mine, to whom I have entrusted many gifts, don't steal. Don't steal. Not from me. And not from your neighbor." Let's talk about stealing from God. Stealing from God, first of all, by our finances and management. We read from Malachi chapter 3. Let me read a few of those verses again. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? The answer of the Lord is in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." The nation of Judah, this was well after the return from the Babylonian captivity. Failed to bring the tithes, the annual tithes, tenths of everything that the land produced and their flocks produced. They failed to give that to the house of God. Those tithes were used to support the priesthood in the service of the temple. And they were also used to care for the poor. The reasoning of Judah was, look, the Lord hasn't given us enough crops. He hasn't blessed our herds enough. But we don't have enough to live on if we bring our tithe. That's why we're not doing it. And the Lord responds, "You're robbing me. I told you, bring a tenth. You're robbing God. Should you resume bringing the tenth, as I told you, the windows of heaven will be opened, the land will be prospered, you won't be able to hold all that I give you. But now you're robbing me." And so it is possible, isn't it? Even with your financial management or mismanagement, to rob God. From Malachi here, we learn that it's possible to steal from God by not giving appropriately to the cause of His kingdom. Let's understand, the Old Testament tithe, a tenth, is no longer in force. That belongs to a bygone era where the church was still in its childhood and God had to regulate everything they did. The church now, because of the Spirit of Pentecost poured out, is in its adulthood. And all those rules and regulations of the Old Testament are no longer necessary. Also true with respect to giving. Now the principle is set forth by Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, "Let a man give as he is prospered." The more God has prospered you financially, the more the Lord expects you to give. For some, that may mean a whole lot more than a tenth of what they have and the Lord has given to them. Each one must prayerfully consider how and how much he should give over against how much he should use for his own living. And if the Lord has prospered you a great deal, no, that doesn't mean that you have to live on a level of those who are prospered very less. If you have, the Lord has prospered you a great deal, doesn't mean that you must live on a level of those who are prospered very little. but you must give as you have been prospered. And the Lord's going to ask you one day, I gave you this, I gave you that. What did you do with it? What was your standard of living? How did you use my things, my riches? There's going to be a day of reckoning. There are going to be many who will face the Lord and He's going to say, you stole from me. Will a man rob God? But you have robbed me. You've used the plenty that I've given you for yourself. And you have forgotten the poor and the gospel ministry. Faithless steward. But we can steal from God in other ways than mismanaging the wealth, the financial wealth God has given to us. We've noticed that God has given us many gifts. Natural gifts. Musical. Intellect. Organizational, mechanical, physical. Each one of us is gifted in many ways. And God has given us the gift of salvation, equipping us to live a new life in the service of God with all our natural gifts. Should we fail to develop these gifts? Squandering them so they can't be used to serve the Lord. You know, you can't use a gift to serve the Lord if you don't develop it. If you just squander it because you're too lazy, because you're interested in things that don't belong to God's kingdom. You're stealing from God. And if you should develop your gifts, but then decide, I've got a better use for these gifts than to serve the Lord. I will serve myself. I will make a name for myself. I will enrich myself. I will enjoy the things of this world with my gifts. You're stealing from the God who gave you those gifts. You're a robber. Young people, you're in junior high, you're in high school. What a golden opportunity God has given to you to develop your gifts. And in our Christian schools and coming from a Christian home, what a golden opportunity to develop your gifts in the service of God. What are you doing with that opportunity? What are you doing with it? Are you making good use of it? Out of the love of the Lord as a faithful steward, or are you simply squandering it? Because your focus is not on the kingdom, not on serving God. Your focus is on yourself and the pleasures of this world. You're a thief, a faithless steward. What about the man who uses his gifts to build a business, a successful business? To which he devotes all of his time and energy and skills and neglects his family, neglects his place in the church. He's a robber, a faithless steward. On and on we could go with examples. We must not steal from God, nor may we steal from our neighbor. To steal from your neighbor is simply to take from him that which God has entrusted to him. simply take it from him. And of course, that's contrary to the principle of stewardship, isn't it? What God has entrusted to your neighbor, he's given to your neighbor so that with that he can serve the Lord. He didn't entrust that to you because he didn't want you to have it. You have less, you have different. Maybe you've got more than the other steward, but that's his, given to him to manage in the service of God. You must leave your hands off that unless you acquire it in a proper ethical way. Anyone who inappropriately, sinfully takes from his neighbor doesn't do it with a consciousness of stewardship. Anything that's ever stolen is never stolen by a steward who says, I need this to serve the Lord. Anyone who has ever stolen from his neighbor does it because he's interested in enriching himself, not serving the Lord. The Catechism makes clear that there are many forms that stealing can take. There are those forms of stealing that are forbidden by the law and punishable by the civil authorities. Crime runs rampant in our society. This form of stealing fills the news every day. You don't find that so prevalent in the church, although it can pop up. There is, however, stealing found among people of the church. Without being able to give a specific example, in my 38 plus years in the ministry, I've come to be concerned that there are many or some in the church, in our churches, who can run pretty fast and loose with their income tax. Fudge a little here, cheat a little there, ignoring the principle, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. The government is also our neighbor. God says, I've given you your wealth or lack of it to serve also this neighbor. Don't steal from him. When I was in school, Adams, years ago, I was well aware of the fact that there were always a few, not many, who consistently shoplifted. And they were pretty good at it. Junior high, high school, well, that was a different matter because I went to a different high school than Covenant. Covenant wasn't yet. Is it still going on? Stealing. And there are more subtle ways to take what belongs to your neighbor, which the government may condone, but which God calls stealing nevertheless. The Catechism brings us back into a medieval marketplace and talks about practices that were not governed by law. Talks about unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise. Unjust weights, when merchandise was bought or sold in the marketplace, they had a scale. On the one hand, there was a weight, and the merchandise bought or sold was put on the other side. And when it came even, it was bought or sold for a certain price. weights were adjusted. Often two sets of weights. A heavier weight when you bought something, you got more than what you should have. A lesser weight when you sold. An L was a measurement of cloth. They weren't always honest. Fraudulent merchandise. We all know what that is. Interestingly, that wasn't just typical of the marketplace at the time the Catechism was written in the 1500s. You go to the prophet Amos, and they had the same thing, chapter 8, 4 through 6. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when shall the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth meat, wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, and yea, sell the refuse of the wheat. These were merchants who couldn't wait till the holy days were done, and the Sabbath, so they could start back up in the marketplace. But the shekel was great. That was a weight to determine how much money was on the other side of the scale. They were cheating. The ephah was small, a wrong measurement of produce and of wheat. And they sold the refuse of the wheat, poor quality merchandise, to take advantage of the needy. And they couldn't wait until the Sabbath day was done to get out there and continue these things. And the Lord says, verse 7, the Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will not forget any of their works. Well, there's a lot more regulation today, isn't there, by the government to protect the consumer. But it's still a matter of consumer and buyer beware. There are multitudes of ways to take advantage of the unsuspecting and to set forth poor quality merchandise to fill the pockets of a businessman and to take it out of those unsuspecting, perhaps, who are buying. And most of it's legal. And the Lord says, I will not forget those works. I will not. Another easy way and common way to steal from your neighbor is in the workplace. Do you have people working for you? Are you paying them a fair wage so that they can live? You're working for somebody. Are you producing for your employer so that the work you produce is equal to the pay you're receiving? When that doesn't happen, you're stealing from your neighbor. One more thing, the Catechism speaks of usury. That means excessive interest on money loaned. I guess I've said this from the pulpit before, but we need to be reminded again and again. I'm not so much concerned about you being guilty of usury, loaning money to to take unfair advantage of the poor and the needy. But I am concerned that we waste God's gifts because we fall victim in our foolishness to others who are guilty of that sin. Credit cards. It's amazing how many people in our society, I wonder how many here, are carrying a large debt on credit cards. Paying exorbitant interest. The credit card companies are vultures. They're predators. Their masters at getting young and old entangled in their web with great debt and usury. And if we allow that to happen to us, we're wasting God's good gift to us. The penalty for stealing is staggering. That's not the mindset of our society. Those who shoplift say, the store won't notice this. Employees stealing from their employers by not being productive or by pilfering materials from the place of work justify themselves and say, well, he doesn't pay me enough anyway. Why should I work so hard? I take things from the shop, secret them out, sell them, use them. He owes me that anyway. For those who cheat on their income tax, they're just using and wasting my money anyway. Why should I pay? And this mentality is often reflected in the courts, in that they deal with much thievery with a very light hand. That's not God's perspective. God's perspective is set forth in Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verses 13 and following. Listen. Thou shalt not have in thy bag, a businessman now, diverse weights, a great and a small. Remember, that's the way you can get more than what you should when you buy from somebody and give them less when you sell. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Those who steal, even now in this way of business, and that's just one example, do unrighteously, and their practices are an abomination to the Lord, and so are those who practice them. And that's why we are taught that those who give themselves over to this sin shall not inherit the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, listen, 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters. And there's a long list of sins and nor thieves shall inherit the kingdom of God. Those who steal in one way or another without repentance forfeit any place in the kingdom of God. That is a staggering penalty. That's consistent with our position as stewards before God. You steal from God, you steal from man, you steal in a way that's even legal in the land. God, who sees and knows all, says, that's abominable to me. Without repentance and without fleeing to the cross of Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for the power to change, there is no inheritance. The courts may slap you on the wrist. What you do may be an acceptable, respectable sin, but it's an abomination to me, and there is no inheritance in my kingdom. The flip side is that there is a great reward for those who keep this commandment as faithful stewards. We read from Deuteronomy chapter 25 about those who have diverse weights in their bag, different measures in their house to cheat as they buy and sell. I skipped over a verse which reads, but thou shalt have a perfect weight, a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's a phrase you find throughout the Old Testament, even in God's law. Children, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God blessed his people when they walked righteously by giving them long life in the land. And in that long life, they enjoyed God's blessings. Material blessings, spiritual blessings, which all looked ahead and promised eternal, greater blessings in the heavenly Canaan. That's what God promises to those who are faithful stewards. And then, finally, listen to this. Jesus' instruction in the Sermon on the Mount, Luke chapter 6, verses 33 through 35. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye have hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again or in return. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. With your material possessions, don't just lend them, hoping to get something back greater in return, like interest or favors. Even lend to your enemies in love, even if you know you're never going to get anything back. Doesn't that sound a lot like the Catechism? What does God require in this commandment? That I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance that I can, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further, that I also faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. that spirit that Jesus is talking about here in this passage. Those who by the grace of God do that shall have a great reward. A great reward. Are we not the redeemed in Jesus Christ? Haven't we been saved and sanctified to be faithful stewards over God's gifts to us? Let us be faithful, stealing neither from God nor from man, using all of God's gifts, our financial gifts, our natural gifts, our spiritual gifts, all to serve God. Then there is a great reward and a great blessing now and eternally. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the position of steward in Thy house. We thank Thee for Thy grace and salvation. Lead us, O God, in the power of the cross to be faithful stewards. So that we do not steal, but so that we use all of Thy gifts well, and reward us, O God, accordingly, for Jesus' sake. Amen.